another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And today I am broadcasting live with just a little touch of Southern flavor from hot, hot Atlanta, Georgia. And I want to especially give a shout out to all of my international listeners and say to everyone who's listening to this podcast today that I believe that if you are listening to this show, that God has attracted you here and that today at this very moment you will find answers or the missing piece of the puzzle for your life. Well, how are you doing? I'm doing really great. I pray that you've had a great week. I'm just doing magnificent, so glad and so grateful to be here with you today. And can you believe it is already July? What is happening to time? Seemingly, time is accelerating. It's going so fast. And of course, you know that I'm going to ask you, what are you doing differently this year? It is the midpoint of the year. You have to take a look at your life and see what are you doing different in order to produce a different result. Well, today my very special guest is Mr. Stephen Edwards, and he's the author of Quantum Wealth. I have a question for you. Do you want to learn how to take a quantum leap with your finances? I know all of you do. Well, I want you to stay tuned, and after these quick commercials, I will be right back.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, loaradionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the radio station for your well-being.
Hello, this is Constance Arnold, your success coach. Do you feel stuck? Are you ready for change in the areas of business, relationships, or career? Then contact me today for your complimentary coaching session. We will partner together to develop individualized strategies and projects that will move you towards the life of your dreams. So email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com or visit my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and discover and take advantage of the diverse coaching packages that I have designed just with you in mind.
Ah, looking out on that tropical night, having a romantic conversation with your possible soulmate, or hitting one of the 7 nightclubs on the ship to dance the night away, then sitting back and listening to fantastic workshops that help you to nurture that relationship into something you've never experienced before. You may think it's just a dream, but it can be a reality on our Spiritual Singles Cruise, October 27th to October 31st. We made a last-minute cabin buy so that we could extend the original group rates, which still start off at $599. So don't delay. Sign up now and start manifesting the love you have been waiting for. Go to loaradionetwork.com.
Well, once again, I just want to reiterate to all of you about my great coaching services. Because of the overwhelming demand for coaching, for just a limited time, I'm offering a new easy payment options to receive my coaching services, and I call it pay as you go, and really you will receive this service really at a substantial discount so that you can just pay when you have the time, whenever your lifestyle would create it. And so go to my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. I've had just an awesome response from this pay-as-you-go. Really, the Spirit of God really directed me to share that with you so that I could help you to begin to create the life of your dreams. And coming up in July, I'm going to be teaching and I'm going to be talking about your divine right to be rich. That's right. Did you know that it is the will of God for you to be rich in all areas of your life? Mr. Bernie Dorman is going to be on my show. He is Jack Canfield's personal coach, and Guy Finley is going to be on my show. So I want you to stay tuned for the entire month of July. I have some great guests in store for you. But today, my very special guest is Mr. Stephen Edwards. Stephen is a top national speaker for Anthony Robbins and Robert Kiyosaki. He has generated sales of over $31.5 million and is the author of Quantum Wealth, The Seven Secrets to Achieving Peace and Prosperity. I've also just recently listened to a great CD series that he has entitled Your Miracle Life. You know, Stephen has a very interesting life. He went from living in a rental. His credit was shot. Can anybody relate to that? He was divorced, and now he's living the life of his dreams. Within 2 years, he started with only $60, and now he's living in a multi-million-dollar home. He's married to the woman of his dream, and he's traveling all over this world, really helping to change people's lives. And he's trying to change all of our thinking in the U.S. about soccer. And we think that football is all there is, but he's trying to teach us about soccer. So, Stephen Edwards, welcome again to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thanks for having me, Constance. It's great to be here.
Good. Well, you know, Stephen and I tried to, we recorded once, but it just didn't go through, and we were laughing prior to this recording and said, maybe we were supposed to come together again, Stephen, so that I could hear your wonderful accent and you could hear my wonderful Southern accent. What do you think about that?
I think you're absolutely right, Constance. It's a beautiful accent. I could listen to you all day.
Right. Well, Stephen, let's get started. Tell us a little bit, all of my listeners all over the world tonight, tell us a little bit about who you are and your wonderful, miraculous, awesome, amazing journey.
Yeah, well, as we were just talking about, we both have different accents, and I'm obviously not from your neck of the woods any more than you're from mine. I'm, of course, from Alabama. I'm from England. I came over here the first time in 1981, and I came over with my best friend, and we went out to the West Coast, to California, and almost immediately of coming off the airplane, and I was looking around, and I just had this feeling that this is where I wanted to live, and this is where I wanted to spend my life. And I went back to England and told everybody I was going to do that, and I came backwards and forwards from, you know, England to America on vacations at different times, and I did that for 7 years, telling everybody I was going to come and live here. And then one day, I'd been on a trip out here, and a friend of mine that was visiting that evening, I'd just come back from vacation, and I was telling, as we call it in England, holiday, and I was telling family members about my trip, and I was leaving that night, and he followed me out and said, hey, Stephen, come here, I've got a question for you. And I said, what? And he said, well, look, you go to America every year, you have a great time, and you come back and you tell us all you're going to go live out there. He said, when do you think you're going to do something about it? And so I sort of looked at him sheepishly and said, yeah, I guess if I'm going to do it, I should do something about it. And he sort of just said, look, you know, I don't know whether it's what you really want to do or not. He said, only you can decide that. He said, but what I will tell you is that if you don't do something about it to make it happen, he said, you're going to wake up one day, you know, 10, 15 years from now, and it'll be an unfulfilled dream. And he said, you know, if this is really what you want to do, you know, you've got to do something about it. So I left the house, and, you know, in my initial thought about it was, you know, I don't need him telling me what to do. I know what I need to do. So my ego got in there a little bit. And then, you know, it took me about an hour to drive home. And on the way, all I could think about was what he said. And by the time I got home, of course, you know, I knew it was right. And I went into the kitchen, and I sat down at the kitchen table, and I said, you know, why am I not doing this? You know, I've been talking about going to live in America for so long, and I've never done anything about it. And I got to be honest with you, the initial thoughts that came up were, you know, all the excuses, you know, well, you know, my family would miss me, my friends would miss me, blah, blah, blah. And for whatever reason, that night, I came to a realization that those things that seemed true in the moment those things that the ego comes up with to stop us having to face our fears were seemingly, you know, personal truths, but really they were lies, you know, they were lies that were holding me back. And I said, you know what, I'm not going to accept that anymore. I said, what's the real reason? Of course, when it really comes down to is fear, you know. I was afraid of, you know, leaving England and coming to live in America and failing and having to go back. And so fear of the unknown is what we really, what we're always afraid of. And so for whatever reason that night, I sat there and I said, well, you know, what's going to happen if I don't do this? What happens if I don't live my dream? Where am I going to be 5 years from now? Where am I going to be 10 years, 15 years, and 20 years? And so I mapped it out, and I sat up that night for 5 hours. I got home about 12:30 at night, and by the time I'd finished writing, I looked up at the kitchen clock, and it was 5:30 in the morning. And when I looked down at what I'd written, and I, you know, I saw my future laid out for me, I didn't like what I saw. And so I said, you know, that's not the life I want. I looked at my life in the future and I saw myself being old, alone, unhappy, unhealthy, and feeling like I'd wasted my life and let my family down. So what I decided to do was, instead of making the things that I really wanted, my dream of coming to live here, important, I decided to make it imperative. And of course, the difference between something that's important and one that's imperative is having a sense of urgency. And I just said, okay, I'm going to go for this. I'm going to do it. And it's funny, as I said that, that little voice in the back of my head, you know, that little voice that's talking to us all the time, said, you know, what happens if it doesn't work out? And I started to think about that, and I thought, well, maybe I should have a plan B. And then, you know, that voice goes, yeah, and how's that worked for you in the past, you know? When you have a plan B, which one do you end up taking? And I go, you know, it's true, I always end up taking plan B. So, and I decided to just say, okay, no plan B, and I sold everything I owned. I had a business, and I sold that. I had some real estate that I'd bought, and I sold that. And I sold my own home, my car, all my belongings, and all the electrical products that won't work on the electrical system. And basically, I had my cash and clothes. I went to live with my parents, and then I went to apply for my visa to come and live in America, in London. And, of course, by the time I drove to the U.S. Embassy in London, I was already committed. I'd sold everything. And when I got there, they told me there were 4 visas I could apply for. And I said, well, I want to go live in America and ultimately become an American citizen. And they said, well, there's only 1 visa you can apply for, then that's an E2 visa. So I sort of said, well, that's great. I'll take one of those. How much is it? And he sort of laughed and he said, look, let me tell you how you qualify. He said, you go to America, you find a business, you buy it, you pay for it, you come back to England, you write a 5-year business plan, and then you send the business plan in with proof of purchase of the business, and then we let you know a decision in 60 to 90 days. And,
wow.
You know, it was amazing because, you know, had I had a plan B, I might well have taken it then. But the reality is no one will ever know whether I would or I wouldn't, because there was no plan B. You know, all I could think about was, how do I make sure my plan A is accepted? How do I make sure that my application is accepted? So I came over to America. I came backwards and forwards 6 times. I bought a franchise, a licensed sporting goods franchise. And I put everything I had on the line for my dream. And that's when miracles started happening in my life. I mean, there were all kinds of moments along that journey that it looked like the door had been closed, that it wasn't going to happen, and then something miraculous would just happen. And a door would open, and my journey would continue. And I learned a lot from that. I learned a lot about walking in faith. I learned a lot about how we tend to want to know what's going to happen next. And the more we try and do that, the more we try and control our lives, the more our lives tend to end up shipwrecked on the shore of our need to control and our fears, you know. So that's a little bit about my journey. That's how I ended up being here. I moved to the United States in the summer of that year, 6 months after I made it imperative to live my dream. I was living in America and started a whole new life.
Well, you know, that's so interesting, and it's such a courageous step. You were committed to the commitment, sounds like to me. And now here you are, a top speaker for Anthony Robbins and Robert Kiyosaki, and we know that you've had some interesting some interesting side journeys, I would say some interesting experiences. I noticed that as I was reading about you, Stephen, that you were living in a rental and that you lost everything, and I'm really sharing that part for my listeners all over the world who may be in that same state right now. So before we get into the whole quantum wealth bit, what was it in you? Oh, was it your faith? Was it God? Was it your commitment? What was it in you that really brought you back from what looks like devastation to now just being excited, being purposeful, being married to a beautiful woman, the wife of your dreams, living in luxury, and really changing the lives of people all over the world. What was that?
That's a great question, Constance. First of all, I worked with Tony for 3.5 years, between 1994 and 1997. I don't work with Tony anymore.
Okay.
Those were three very powerful, transformative lives, and three of the probably most transforming lives, years of my life. I do still on occasion speak with for Robert's organization, doing his annual conferences. So just to clarify that. The big shift, you know, it's really allowing God into your life, allowing God to, you know, they say, let go, let God. And that is really the truth. It's I was living in a rented house, as you said. I was selling things out of the house to pay the rent because I'd had a business and I put it all on my credit cards, and that business had failed again. And I found myself in the void. And, you know, just like you were saying earlier, you know, you when you pray for your listeners that had a great week, you know, the power of prayer is incredibly powerful. We now know that a thought is an electromagnetic field of energy. It is a thing. It has creative power. And, I had sort of said, you know, what I really want to do is to go out and speak. I want to share my insights, my experiences with the world. And I'd been trying to do that on my own, and I've been trying to do everything myself. And I said, all I really want to do is end up with people in a room I can go and speak to. And lo and behold, I wrote a book, and it was a book that I felt like it came through me rather than from me, and it was an amazing experience, and I had to just trust in the process. I could have gone and got a job and found myself 9 to 5 and try to write the book, and I knew I wouldn't have been able to be in the right energy to write the book, so I had a lot of faith to write the book, and almost 2 days, you know, within 2 days of me finishing writing the book, someone knocked on my door I'd never met before. Someone, a friend of mine, a mutual friend of ours, had said that we needed to meet. And it was through this gentleman that I got introduced to an educational company that taught really financial strategies, financial literacy. And that was the missing link for me. I'd done the spiritual thing. I got a PhD in spiritual counseling. I'd done the personal development thing, the psychological thing with Tony Robbins. And the one thing, the area that was missing for me was, you know, the financial side, the abundance side, the internal wealth side. And so this opportunity came my way, and I took it with both hands and acted upon the education. And as a result, very quickly, I was starting to see my financial situation change. And, you know, there's definitely been ups and downs along the way, and it's not always easy, and there's definitely challenges. But, you know, I'm in a much better financial situation now because I made the changes inside of myself and then started to apply the strategies of wealth outside of myself and saw things begin to change very rapidly. And as you said, I started out with really little or no money. I mean, $50 was what I basically put into my first investment.
Wow. So let's talk about your book, Quantum Wealth. Everybody's concerned about economics globally, and money seems to be the number one question that I get via email from all my listeners all over the world. So, Stephen, what is quantum wealth and how can we get it?
Great. Well, quantum wealth is, you know, one of the things you said earlier, that God wants us all to be rich. It's a divine right that we all have. But the divine right that we talk about is the right to feel abundant, the right to feel wealthy, the right to feel prosperous, the right to feel gratitude and grateful for the things we have. You know, the wealth that most people think of is, you know, having a nice car, a big house, lots of cash in the bank. But the truth is, the wealth really comes within you, from within you, appreciating what you have. If you appreciate something, it expands. And, you know, we've been taught to always think that we never have enough, you know, that we live in a world where there isn't enough, that, 30,000 men, women, and children die every day of starvation in a world where there's more than enough feed to feed everybody many, many times over. So the reality is abundance is already here. There's no lack of anything. You know, money is just something we print on printing presses every day. So it's just an idea. It's not even real. But we believe it's real. We believe in this illusion so fully and so strongly that we create the illusion that we believe in. So we have to extrapolate ourselves from it and really look at things in a different way. It's, you know, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And a perfect example is, you know, every month we get a bill for our electricity, for our water, for our whatever it is, you know. And what most people do is they dread that bill. They resent paying the bill. They don't appreciate what they're getting as a result of having that bill. You know, the electricity, the fact that we can turn a light on, the fact that we can have hot water, running water, all these things that even today people in many countries would dream of having. We live today the way kings and queens used to dream of living 300 years ago. So if we start to appreciate those things and we get our bills, instead of being resentful, you know, take the bill and have a bill party. Have a party for bills, you know, be grateful. Think of all the things that we get for those things. What that does is starts to get us to get into a sense of gratitude instead of appreciation. And if you appreciate something like real estate, if real estate appreciates, it increases in value. We feel good. And as we start to feel good about what we have, we get more. As long as we feel bad about what we already have, then what we have will start to slip away.
And so quantum wealth is more than just about money. And so I can hear some of my listeners saying now, and I always say this jokingly, Les Brown says that everybody says money ain't everything, but it's right up there with oxygen. So yeah. How can a person who right now may really be struggling financially begin to change from the inside out? What can they begin to do?
Well, that was one thing I just mentioned. Appreciate what you already have.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to be given more until you already appreciate what you have. And I've seen people in from all over the world that have far less than anybody here in America has who have tremendous gratitude for what they already have. They're already wealthy. Now, I've seen people with tremendous gratitude for what they already have that live in abject poverty. So there's a balance. You don't want to have to live in abject poverty, but you can be happy with what you have and allow more to come into your life. The absolute guarantee is if you're appreciative of what you already have, more will come to you. Ask and you shall what? But what the people don't understand is the energy field that you have is what you're asking for more of. If you're walking around every day thinking, I don't have enough, or I'm lacking this, or I want more money, you're asking for scarcity, and you'll be given more scarcity. It's not what we just think in our mind. It's the energy field. Our electromagnetic energy is a combination of our thoughts, our beliefs, our imagination, how we're feeling in the moment. It's how we feel that is radiating an energy field that is attracting to us the exact same thing that our energy field is projecting out into the world, into the universe. And so we change our energy field. We change, what, like you talked about, your program is about the law of attraction. We're attracting into our life an exact mirror of our internal world. So quantum wealth is wealth at the very core of your being. Going down to the quantum mechanics, most people have heard of quantum physics. Well, if you go down to the quantum level, at the quantum level of the universe, everything is either particles or waves of energy. And interestingly, the particles can become waves and the waves can become particles. Everything is the same. Everything is connected. So what I'm saying is this, that this physical world that we live in, that we perceive, is an emanation from the quantum world. So everything that we see is not separate from us. It is a part of us. If you put your hand in front of your face and wave it, you can feel the molecules moving in front of your face. So in other words, there is not nothing between you and I. There is not nothing between you and the wall. There is not nothing between you and the sky. There is molecular molecules. And as we send out waves of energy from our being, those waves of energy are projecting out into the universe. And we're not separate from the rest of the universe. We're connected to it. So what happens is we start to draw towards us what we're projecting out into the universe. So we're all living in a dream. The question is, whose dream are you living in? Where most people are not consciously aware of their thoughts, their words, and their actions, and so they think that life is happening to them. We are creating it. We're creation machines, but most people are creating it unconsciously. So the first thing we can do is appreciate what we have. The second thing is to start to become more aware of what we're thinking, what we're saying, and what we're doing. All of those three things are creative forces. They create energy. They move energy, and energy is creative. So if you really want to generate more wealth in terms of material wealth in your life, it begins with creating it at the quantum level, and then taking that sense of abundance and taking the principles of wealth and applying them in your life.
So, Stephen, is that why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer?
That's exactly right. You know, I was just watching a program a few days ago where we were talking about how these systems, these welfare systems put in place by the government, actually create more poverty. They actually do more harm to the poor than they do good. And that might sound crazy. You think, well, the minimum wage has got to help people. Well, no, it doesn't. The reason it doesn't is because it stops people employing people. Where there was a guy being interviewed that has a store, and he said, I would employ four or five more people if I could pay less, but because I have to pay a minimum wage, I end up employing one person. So it stops people from being able to get jobs that would be stepping stones to go to a higher level in society. So same thing with other welfare programs. They stunt the growth of a society. They stop people from being able to get that rung up the ladder and move forward. And it was like, when I was watching, I was like, wow, this is such a different way of thinking. You know, we think of, you know, the minimum wage should be even higher. People should be, you know, guaranteed to make even more money. But what it does is it actually stunts the growth of a society. And as you just said, consistently for over 100 years, the number of people that are in a level of poor or poverty has remained the same or got worse, and the number of people who are wealthy has remained the same. Wealth finds its own level. It's like water. So what we have to do is, if we want to find wealth, we can't just give somebody money. You know, most people would agree, you know, you give someone $1 million who's never had $1 million before, they win the lotto, what usually happens? They lose it.
Right.
Because they don't have the mindset to be able to hold it and support it and build upon it. You know, psychologists tell us if you were to take all the wealth as it is in the world today and you were to distribute it equally amongst all the population of the world, it would be back exactly where it is today in less than 2 years.
That's such an interesting phenomenon, and we know that it's true, and I can really relate to what you're talking about, because for years I had contracts where I dealt with the psychological and emotional barriers that were holding specifically women on welfare back. So I understand exactly what you're saying, because it is really a mentality and a shifting on the inside about who you are, who God is in you, and wealth in your life.
Yeah, and we're giving such conflicted messages about money and wealth. You know, there's all these beliefs going around. Money is the root of all evil. People who have money are bad. You have to take from somebody else. You know, but it's not true. You know, the reality is, you know, the lack of money is the root of all evil.
I know it. I tell people I sleep deeper when I have more money, Stephen. It's just something about it, because we were created and designed for it, and it's our divine birthright, and it's our heritage. So, you know, you mentioned a few minutes ago about the power of our thinking. So for my listeners all over the world who might be in a difficult financial situation right now, what should their thoughts be about money and about wealth and about abundance right in the middle of where they are?
Yeah, it's great. First of all, I think take the attention off money. Money is a result. It's not a cause. You cannot create a result without a cause. And if your cause is to make more money, then you're coming from scarcity. And you're just going to create, it's going to push it away. So take money out of the picture completely and focus on, what are you passionate about? How have you come here to serve in the world? What have you come here to give? And make that the vehicle. Now, very important, not only have you got to be able to figure out what I call your mission, your vision and purposes in life, you've got to make sure that when you are living your mission, vision and purpose, you allow the wealth to come into your life. Because so many people push it away. When they do something great for somebody, and this person says, oh, let me give something back. No, you don't have to give anything. You don't have to give me anything back. No, it's fine. And so they're pushing it away. So when someone says, let me reward you, let me give you something back from what you've given me, then you must be open to that. And if that means putting a certain quantifying that, because sometimes people say, well, I don't know what to give you. So that's why we put a price on our services. You know, just like your counseling, your support, your coaching, there's a certain amount of exchange of energy that needs to happen. when you're giving your coaching, you have to have an exchange of energy, because if you do that, for all the time that you spend studying all the things that you've studied, the energy you put into that, and the fact that you need to support yourself and be at your best and have your rest and have your life watered, you need to have a return on energy, and we all need this. But the first thing is you got to find out why you're here. What is your mission? And people go, wait a minute, my reason right now is to survive. My reason right now is to just go out and get a paycheck or make some money or make ends meet. As long as you think that way, you're going to keep repeating the cycle. You have to break the cycle. And it takes faith. It takes courage. It takes you really taking the time and putting the energy into getting clear about how you've come here to serve. You know, when I was writing that book, you know, when you mentioned it's like, you know, the thing that got me out of it was having the courage to not panic, to not live in fear. When you start living in fear, you're going to perpetuate that. It's like a rat in a wheel. You can't break out of it. To break the pattern, you have to have the courage to do that. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is when we're afraid, but we have the faith and the trust to do it anyway. And that's the big thing. It, you know, there's no getting around that. Nobody, you know, people said, what's the magic pill? What can I do to, you know, break free and become wealthy? You got to face your fears. You have to face your fears, and your fears will come up over and over and over again. And every time they come up, they get harder, they get bigger, until some people give up. They become cynical. They say, oh, there's no way out. You can never do it. Well, that's not true. That's just true for them in that moment. We have to face our fears. We have to get clear about why we're here. And at this time in our history, more than any other, you know, you mentioned earlier, Constance, at the beginning, that time is moving by seemingly faster. It is moving faster. Time is imploding as we know it. We can talk about that scientifically, but time is moving faster. Time is imploding. It's getting harder to remember what you did 3 years ago, and it's getting harder to plan what you're going to do 3 days from now, because we're being pushed into the present, into the now moment, and that's where life really exists. So the pulsation of the planet and the frequency, the magnetic field around the Earth are changing, and that is changing our perception of time. So time is literally going faster, and the time between us experiencing our fears and them coming back if we don't face them is getting faster and faster and faster, until we're either going to face our fears or the lower vibration that we're trying to hold in our bodies and sustain as a result of not facing our fears will make our bodies inoperable. I mean, that sounds crazy, but we're coming to that time. When we're facing our fears, we have a chance to move our vibration to a higher level. When we don't face our fears, we lower our vibration. And the vibration around us is changing. It's moving up. We're moving closer to becoming more and more enlightened, more and more aware, more and more awakened. And we have energies that have been held up in our bodies for many of us since we were children that we have to release. We have to move through those fears. Otherwise, that energy that's held up in our bodies lowers our vibration and ultimately will make our bodies inoperable.
Well, you know, you're so right about that, because as you were talking, I was thinking about my childhood. And even as a child, I would get my two brothers and my sister together and I would teach them. And so that has always been in me. And even for my listeners, I want you to really take a look at, as Stephen was saying, what's on the inside of you, and just begin to move on that. And when you will really vibrate at a higher level. And, you know, Stephen, I want you to touch on faith, because your life is an example of faith, and so is mine. And I just made a decision, just like you, that I did not want a life of mediocrity, and I was going to do what I felt that God was calling me to do, no matter what. So how can a person who may be sort of steeped in fear right now really begin to really move in faith and to really live out their purpose on earth?
The first thing is to come to the realization that, you know, we're given the power of free will and choice. We're creating everything. If we're not happy with what we're creating, then we can choose differently. We don't have to keep repeating it. But also, it comes down to, you know, what I just said, facing your fears. What are you afraid of? What is it that's, you know, are you looking to go out and just make money and say, I'm going to go and get a job that I really don't want to do and go back into the same old cycle again? Or are you willing to really sit down, get really clear about what you're passionate about, how you really want to spend your time serving the greater good? And when you get clear about that, there are so many vehicles today for you to be able to get that message out. I mean, Constance, you're a living example of it. Look what you're doing. You're doing your own radio show. You're doing your coaching. You know, that's not something that is easy to do.
It's not.
It takes a lot of very, very strong faith that you're following something. You just have a knowing in your heart and your mind. This is what you're meant to do. You know, just like you said, you know, I had this calling. I had this sense of clarity. I got clear about I need to make my coaching available in a new way to make it more available to people who I know need it. And so you got that moment of clarity. It probably more felt like it came through you rather than from you. It was almost like a message from above that this is something that you need to do. And we've got to tune into that.
Right. You know, you're so right, because unlike you, I was in Europe. I was on a trip, 10-day trip to Paris, and I went to the French Riviera, Nice. I went to Monaco, and while I was there, it was very spiritual for me, and it was like the Spirit of God said to me, you've got to leave the school system. I was working in the school system as a school counselor, and I felt like I was dying there, Stephen. I knew that there was more on the inside of me, but I was so afraid. But while I was in Europe, and I remember calling my mentor and saying, guess what? When I get back to the U.S., I'm going to not sign my school contract for the next year. And that's when I really began to step out in faith. When I was in Europe, in Paris, God just spoke to me. And what did it for me was I saw how free the people in France were, how the French were just so free, and how they were living life. And I wasn't living life abundantly, Stephen. I knew I was, Stephen, I wanted more. And that's when I took my step of faith.
Yeah, and it was the same to me. And I think that, you know, we come to that point sometimes in our lives, and we either listen to that and break free. And when we break free, there's nothing in the middle there that says, hey, everything's going to be okay. You know exactly what's going to happen next. You just don't. You're in the void, and it's scary. And it's not the first time you've been faced with it, but it might be the time that you actually do something about it. And you know, when you do that, it's probably not going to be the last time your faith is going to be tested. You know, my faith is tested constantly. You know, I'm constantly put in a position where, do I compromise what I know to be true for the sake of the moment to feel safe? Or do I push through and tell my truth, speak my truth, knowing that there could be consequences that may be uncomfortable and that I don't really want to face? And it's a question of keep going down that road and keep speaking your truth, and you become stronger in your truth, and your faith grows as a result of that. You know, anybody, you know, you hear these stories, and, you know, people say, well, Stephen, you know, you've got this amazing life, and you married the woman of your dreams, and everything is hunky-dory. It is. I have an amazing life. I'm very grateful for it. And at the same time, I'm faced with challenges all the time. The challenges don't go away. It's not like you make a lot of money and suddenly you have no worries, you have no concerns, and your faith is never tested again. It's always tested, because that's the only way you can grow in faith. It's the only way you can grow stronger. It's not like you reach the end of the road and go, okay, you know, everything that you need to do and every way you need to grow in your life is over. It never ends. But that's what makes life exciting. That's
right.
What makes it, you know, I don't ever want to people to get the impression that, oh, you know, Stephen Edwards has reached this point in his life where everything is now easy, you know, never has to worry about anything. No, I'm challenged the same as everybody else. And the things that I say about overcoming fear and facing your challenges and moving through them are things that I face all the time. And when I talk about it, it just reminds me to keep doing the same thing. So, you know, there's an old saying, we teach what we need to learn, and we teach what we need to remember, and keep reminding ourselves of the same thing. So we're all in this together. And, you know, more of us that get and follow our path, our mission, our vision and purpose, as I call it, the mission being your life legacy, the vision being able to see it, and the purpose knowing the why, the more of us that do this, the more as we come together and we support each other, just like, you know, you and I do, Constance. You know, when I listen to you, I go, yeah, you know.
Right.
You're teaching me and you're reminding me, and I do the same for you, and that's how we share the journey.
And so, Stephen, so let's just say you told us that we need to be doing what we were put here on earth to do and living out our purpose, but that takes money. I mean, if I'm called to be a teacher and I want to start a special website for children, underprivileged children, it takes money to pay for a website. So how do we get away from that whole money aspect? Because money rules the world, and it takes money to make things happen.
Okay, so the first thing is we have to let go of that idea. It doesn't take money,
okay,
ever. Never takes money. I bought a house with $60. You know, you could lend $60 from somebody. You know, you can go and speak to children of the Salvation Army. There's all kinds of places you can go and speak, and then someone will hear you speak and go, you know what, I got another group I need you to come and speak for. And you know what, if you would do that, we'll pay you $100 or whatever it is for you to do that. You just got to get out there and do it. To try and say, I got to have the money to do it, it's not true. Mm-hmm. If you are passionate about something, all you have to do is to go out and share your message. Other people will see you. Other people will then help you. The miracles will start to happen. I didn't know when I started selling all my things in my house how I was going to go and live in America. I didn't know when I started to write my book if I'd even get it published. I didn't have the money to publish it. You don't start out having to know what's going to happen next, where the money's going to come from, where anything is going to come from. That is what holds people back. You just have to go out and do it, whether it's to share your message in a park with someone who's sitting on a bench, with people that are walking past you in the street. Wherever you are, you start sharing what you have to give. People will notice you. Something will happen. That is the magic of the journey.
You know, that's so true, because once again, in my own life personally, when I left the school system, Stephen, I just began to speak. And what the Spirit said to me was, ministry first, money will follow. And that's what I did. And I remember once I was doing a breakout group at a conference, and nobody showed up in my breakout group but one person. But this one person happened to be the CEO of a large Fortune 500 company. He and I sat and talked one-on-one, and I got a major contract. What are the chances? All I had to do was show up. And so you are so right. Just one person. All it takes is one person, one phone call, one email to radically change your life.
And because when we step out in faith, that's when God comes to meet us. God can't meet us until we've stepped out of our comfort zone, until we've let go of control. Because otherwise, what are you going to say? I did that.
Right.
So I have to do the next thing. You're never going to be free. Faith gives us freedom. Only through faith can we have freedom. Because when we say, all I have to do is live my true self, be who I really am, give from my heart, God will take care of the rest. I don't like have to worry about tomorrow. But as long as we think, well, you know, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, then that is the way you'll live your life, and it will kill you. It will kill you. So the reason that we're being challenged so intensely right now is because God is saying, it's time to wake up and let go and let me handle the details. You just be in the moment. Be in the, you know, they say yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, this moment is a gift. That's why they call it the present. So we're being asked to live in the present moment and just release our fears of the future.
Well,
that will be taken care of.
You know, you're so passionate about God, and so am I. And I think that because things have just shifted dramatically, old systems are no longer working, and there are new systems that many people need to adhere to, new ways of thinking. And so what are some of your personal practices with your relationship with God? Do you spend time every day praying, meditating, and how does that impact your quantum wealth in all areas of your life?
Yeah, meditation is a key, and because you're taking that time to connect, to allow the stresses of the day before to release. It's almost like, you know, we take a shower or a bath in the morning to wash the body away from all the dust and the debris that it's taken on during the day. But we need to do that with the inside as well. You know, our thoughts and our stresses from the day need to be released. Otherwise, they're compounded day after day after day, which creates dis-ease in the body. So meditation, and then just recognizing, becoming aware of the presence of God in your life. So, for example, it could be anything that just happened, and you start to see what we call synchronicity. I started to have some powerful synchronistic moments with a number. It was the number 23. And I started to see this number in the most amazing situations, and it would just come up in the most, and it was almost like, boom, that's a God bump. That's a bringing me and my awareness right into the moment and reminding me that God is here and that everything is safe. And there's nothing to worry about. It could be anything. It could be a color for you. It could be a word. It could be a conversation that you had about something, and then 5 minutes later, boom, somebody else is talking about the same thing. You go, wow, what are the chances? Just like you had that synchronistic moment with the CEO of that company. What are the chances you would go to a meeting, one person would show up, and that would be someone that would lead you to a major contract and start your business?
Amazing. And I say that God blesses movement, and everything begins with the seed. And I tell people, just begin to move in the direction of what you desire, and that the what is up to you. What do you want? But the how is up to God. And once again, Stephen, that goes just back to faith and just believing God, et cetera. And so, you know, you talked about wealth and how it's not really that important, but what does it feel like to be a multimillionaire? We all
amazing.
Want to know, Stephen. Come on and tell us.
Well, it's wonderful, and it's scary at the same time. You know, there are two kinds of money problems that people have. One is not enough, and the other is too much. You know, whenever you have money, you've got things you've got to concern yourself about. You got, what am I going to do with it? You know, I can't just let it sit there. I've got to invest it. I've got to make decisions. So the concerns and the stresses about things don't go away until you just say, you know what? All this stuff came into my life, not really because of anything I did, but because of me having the courage to face my fears and to start to allow the abundance to come into my life, to start to appreciate the abundance in my life. And then the right people and opportunities will come in, just as it did for you with the CEO, for you to start to create abundance in your life. And then someone else will come in and they'll say, hey, listen, you know, I've got this opportunity for you to invest this. But you start to look for it. You start to set the intention. You know, I want to not only create abundance, but I want to build abundance in my life. I want to reinvest that money. You know, it's like the story of the seven talents. You know, if you don't invest it and you bury it, then it destroys you. So it's, you know, it's a mindset of saying, you know, I deserve it. I'm going to give. I give a tremendous amount. When I go and do an event, I go speak somewhere, my focus is there on the people that are there, and to give. And so when I am rewarded for that, when the energy comes back to me, whether it's in the form of money, whether it's the form of people's appreciation, I allow myself to embrace it. You know, when people come up and say, thank you so much for this, I don't just say, oh, yeah. I say, you know, I really feel that. I really go, you know what, that's really meaningful to me, that someone would come up and share their energy, take their time and come up and say, Stephen, I just want to thank you for being here and sharing what you have, because what you said has really had an effect on me. And I, as a result, I went out and did this, this, and this. I really appreciate that. But I don't think of it in terms of it's me. I think about, wow, as I share the God-given gifts that I've been given through the experience that I've had, it comes back to me. And that might be in the terms of someone saying, you know, here's, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. And that money comes to me, and I go, wow, that's amazing. You know, I remember when I used to make, you know, $10 an hour. And I'm coming up and speaking here for 3 days, and I can make, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. It's crazy, but I'm so appreciative of it. So it's remembering where we're from, appreciating
right.
what we have, and appreciating what else comes into our lives as well, and never forgetting that the reason that it's coming is because we're giving something of value to other people. It wouldn't be coming to us if we hadn't created some kind of energetic exchange, and allowing that, embracing that, allowing it to come into our lives. But it bottom line starts, just as you said, Constance, you knew what you were here to do, and you said, I'm going to go out and do it. I don't care who is going to listen. I know that people who need to hear what I have to say will come into my life, and there'll be people that I will connect with that will be conduits to lead me to more.
You know, that's so interesting. You know, we just have a few remaining minutes tonight. Thank you for being so honest and vulnerable about your own life, Stephen. What about the role of visualization? And I guess that would be seeing it before you actually it appears or it outpictures in your outward life. What can you say to my listeners all over the world?
Yeah, and that comes back to mission, vision, and purpose again. The vision, you've got to be able to see it first. You know, an athlete cannot perform any physical feat until they see it first. You know, most people, when they come home from work, are so tired, all they want to do is watch television and turn their mind off. I say turn it off and have play a new type of television. That's where you tell your vision to somebody else and they tell their vision to you, right?
Right.
Start to get really clear about how you want your life to be. See it. Draw it out. Write it out first. Write it out in rich, vivid detail. The more detail, the better. See it in your mind and then create a vision board so you can see it every day and you look at it every day and you hold that vision in your mind. You know, I sometimes tell a story about when I was playing football on the beach with a friend of mine. We live here in Florida near a beautiful beach called Siesta Key. It's made out of quartz crystal. It's just beautiful. It's like sugar, the scent. And I was playing football on there one day with a friend of mine. And not real football. This is American football.
I know you want to tell us that soccer is all there is, right, Stephen? And it's not football. Is that correct?
You know, I love American sports, too. I'm just kidding. But my favorite, of course, is soccer because I grew up with that in England. But we're throwing this football across the beach, and there's a little girl paddling in the ocean with her mom. She's about 2 or 3 years old. And she turned around, and she saw us throwing this football. And you could see her eyes just following the ball backwards and forwards and backwards. She wanted that ball so much. And finally, you saw a little thought go through her mind, I'm not going to get that football. And so she turned around and she started to run back towards the water. Just as she did that, my friend threw me the ball, and it landed short of me. And it landed on the ridge of the slope, and it fell over the ridge, and it started to roll down behind the little girl, and it was almost touching her heels. And she ran in the water, and she never knew. And I thought, what a great metaphor for life. So often we have this vision, we have this dream of how we want our life to be. And before, you know, the universe starts to co-create it and starts to bring it towards, but before it gets there, we've already turned around and we start to run away and do something else. So, you know, what I will say is that your dreams are real. Your imagination is a God-given gift. Choose what you want to, how you want to live your life. You know, we call the leaders of our society today visionaries. They can see it before it happens. Walt Disney was a visionary. He saw Disneyland before it ever came into creation. And when he passed away, they opened Disney World in Orlando, and Roy Disney was there because Walt had already passed away, and he was doing the opening ceremony, and a reporter shouted out, "Hey, Roy, it's kind of a bittersweet day today here, isn't it? You know, here we are opening Disney World, and Walt isn't here to see it." And Roy Disney looked at the reporter and said, "Let me tell you something. Walt saw it. That's why you see it here today."
Wow. What a great note to end on. It's just been such awesome revelation tonight. And Stephen, I want you to share with my listeners a little bit about how they can contact you. How can they get your book? What is your website? Are you available for speaking, et cetera?
Yeah, you can contact me through my website. It's myquantumwealth.com. Myquantumwealth.com. So you can contact me there regarding any of my books or your programs or speaking engagements, and I'd be happy to tell you about that. Or you can just be coming to our database, and we send out free emails and materials and audio programs and stuff all the time. So we'd love to have you in our database.
Well, I appreciate you have really given to my audience tonight, and this is our second time because our first recording just did not work. But I say that all things work together for our highest good, and just I've learned so much from you tonight, Stephen, and I personally want to thank you, and I want to thank you on behalf of all my listeners all over the world and say that God bless you and your wife, and continue to bless all the great work that you're doing and how you're radically changing the lives of others.
Thank you so much, Constance. It's been a pleasure being on the show, and I look forward to to us getting together in the not-too-distant future.
All right. Well, thank you again. Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. Remember to go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and take advantage of all the tools that I have designed just with you in mind. Remember this, the best is yet to come, and guess what? God loves you. Make it a great week.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.